heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. Savory corned beef, crunchy sauerkraut, melty Swiss, creamy Thousand Island dressing, toasted rye. Subway. So much Reuben.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there and for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
So I guess the latest catastrophe of the week.
Oh, man.
Man, I mean, it just does not stop.
This is... we need to come up with some better words to fit these catastrophes,
right.
Because that doesn't quite cover it anymore.
And if you're with the American Red Cross, there's no downtime. And especially what's happening in California with the wildfires. We've got Navy veteran and the regional communications officer for the Red Cross. Tony Briggs is with us. Tony, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
You're busy, I'll bet.
Just a little.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, seriously, it has it not been just one thing right after the other?
It's been an unprecedented year for our responses, and it's been wonderful to see all of our volunteers step up and drop everything that they're doing and go help people they've never even met before. It's just been heartwarming.
And the scope of these things are just you know, beyond belief. The destruction and the amount of people who are displaced, and it's just horrible. How do you all deal with it? How do the volunteers deal with it without succumbing to some sort of stress disorder?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, the great thing is we have mental health volunteers here with us, and they help not just our clients that we're helping, but they also help the volunteers. Whenever we're out on a disaster response, we leave the phone number of the counselors where everyone can see it. And then when our volunteers return home from their assignment, which is usually about 2 weeks, they get a phone call where they get the chance to just debrief with one of our mental health workers.
Oh, that's
smart.
And
it gives them the chance that they can just say, hey, I just want to talk about what I saw, and gives them the chance to talk about it, and then we can do some follow-up work with them. It's very important to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, because if we can't take care of ourselves, we're no good taking care of America.
Yeah.
So it's very important, and we put that up front.
Just exhaustion. I mean, you know, you got these firefighters and volunteers and everybody that are just like
24 hours a day.
And so I'm glad to hear, Tony, that you guys have that 2 week period for your volunteers, because they got to regroup, right?
Oh, yeah,
that's right. So when you think about what we saw in the late summer, early fall with the hurricanes, it was basically one right after another.
Yeah.
And it was great to see old volunteers that had been with the Red Cross and came back because they knew we had the need. But even better, we've had a lot of new volunteers who said, oh, my goodness, I see something going on and I want to help. I've got some time. Show me what to do. And we get them in and we get them trained and we get them out in the field.
Well, I got to tell you, Tony, I signed up for a class with the Red Cross to become a volunteer. And they held the class. And I believe I counted 56 people in the room.
Wow. All brand new.
All brand new. And this was a weekday, you know, when most people are working.
Wow.
But I, you know, that gives you an idea. That really impressed me.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Tony, what is the situation in California with the fires right now?
Well, right now, the Thomas Fire, which is burning in Ventura and Santa Barbara County, is the largest. It's more than 200,000 acres right now.
Man.
And we have two very large shelters right now where we're, you know, helping people who have been evacuated. When they get there, you know, we make sure that they're well taken care of. They've got somewhere to sleep, a warm bed, three meals, and, you know, a shoulder to lean on. And we will be here for as long as we're needed. We know that this is not going to be something that's done quickly, and, you know, we're here for the long haul.
What, give us an idea of how large an area 200,000 acres is. I mean,
well,
we're
talking about something that's bigger than New York City.
Oh, wow.
So it's a large, large area. And because it's not easily accessible by foot, we've had a lot of the firefighters have used a lot of the the air assets to fight the fire, and we've had some hand crews get in, and it's been a tough fight. The weather hasn't cooperated, so
those winds, those winds were the Santa Ana winds that came through there.
Yeah,
it felt like hurricane strength one night. I was driving home from our headquarters, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, man, am I back on the East Coast in a hurricane right now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely fueled the fires. The weather is starting to turn a bit, but it's still warm and it's still dry. So we're definitely on the lookout. We know we can see the big fire now, but we're always looking for other ones because we want to make sure that we have our volunteers and our response folks ready to go.
You know, I just like to hazard a guess as to what people would do if the Red Cross wasn't there.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't even want to think about that.
I was going to say, I hope we don't ever have that situation. And, you know, Tony, I always tell people, and we're talking to Tony Briggs here with the American Red Cross in California, and I always tell people, if you have any question about where to donate or to where to give your money or where to put, always go to the American Red Cross because not only is the money going to be used efficiently, but they're going to be there. They're always going to be there, and they always have.
Yep.
And so I can't imagine a better
where
place.
Where would those people eat? Where would they find shelter?
Yeah.
And not just for the big things, but we're also talking about a home fire that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
For that family, that's a disaster.
Sure.
So our Red Cross folks are there at 2 o'clock in the morning after the fire's out and the firefighters have left, and they're standing there saying, now what? And the Red Cross is there to make sure that we get them into a place, you know, a hotel for the night. You know, we get them a warm meal and a blanket, and we say, hey, we're here and we're going to help you through your recovery. So it's not just the big ones that happen on TV. It's also the ones that happen down your street.
And I got to tell you, the Red Cross has it down.
Yeah.
They should have
it down.
The logistics.
They've been around.
I mean, they don't waste any time. When something happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're usually mobilized there before anybody else.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's
right.
That takes
usually
a lot
right
of
after
expertise.
The firefighters, we're there. And the great thing is it's because of our wonderful volunteers. You know, and if any of your listeners want to become a volunteer, it's really easy. They go to redcross.org/volunteer, and then they get the process started. And they can be someone that, you know, can go out, whether it be in their hometown or across the country, to go out and help people who are in need.
And, Tony, I think this is something that Jerry found out, too. You don't have to be particularly skilled in one area or another to be a volunteer, right?
That's
exactly what I meant. No, but I mean,
Randy, I'm not sure he liked that.
Well, because we talked about that before you volunteered, you know, because there are certain limitations and, you know.
Right.
But the Red Cross can pretty much use everybody.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. If you've got a willing heart, we can use you. It really does come down to that.
Now, do you guys still have the texting feature up and running as far as donations?
We sure do. If you text Red Cross to 90999, it'll be a $10 donation then and there to the American Red Cross.
That is so easy to do.
And that $10 is going to help someone who really needs it.
Hey, Tony, did you get any barbecue?
Yes.
Did you? Because there's a group that, out of Kansas City that shows up at disaster areas and serves barbecue for.
They were at Hurricane Harvey. Yeah. I was stationed at the JRB is what we call it, which was a convention center there with 10,000 of my newest friends, and it was really, really good to see how the city came around everyone who was displaced. I mean, and then the fact that they win the World Series just put the.
You couldn't have scripted that, right?
No, exactly. Yeah.
I was going to chastise you, Randy, for asking him if you ate barbecue in the middle of a huge
disaster,
a firestorm. Yeah,
you're right. Right. Yeah. exactly.
That does go to show how we work. I mean, it's not just the Red Cross; it's our governmental partners, it's our non-governmental partners, and other charities that all come together because we know we can't do this alone.
Yeah.
So that is one of the greatest examples of how they come in and everybody says, hey, what can I do to help these people? And it's almost seamless. I mean, there is a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, but it's just great to see how everybody says, hey, what can I do to make these folks' lives a little bit easier?
And Tony, you're a Navy veteran. How does that come into play with what you're doing with the Red Cross?
You know, it's kind of funny because I was a public affairs officer in the United States Navy, and, you know, the skills that I learned in the military translated perfectly into this. We do have, like, the kind of military structure where, you know, we understand that the person from the top that's running the organization gives out those orders, and, you know, the folks bottom on the bottom make sure that it happens. So, you know, it really has been a really good fit for me, and I'm so thankful that, you know, I landed into this job. I don't believe in coincidence, so I know that I'm here for a reason.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, you're doing a fantastic job. And you know, it's great. And, Tony, I know you can appreciate this probably better than anybody, but you have a disaster happen, situation, you get there, and all of a sudden, now everybody's politics, everybody's whatever, go out the window. Yeah, everybody's helping each other. And that's got to be great to see, huh?
It is, especially in the light of what's going on right now. It's really nice to see everybody just roll up their sleeves and say, let's get it done.
Yep. Everyone's family.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And just so you know, Tony, I are a communications major.
Spoken well, sir.
Yeah, I got a daughter that lives in, she has moved to Santa Monica. And so when those fires sprouted up, man, she was sending us back some pictures and you're like, are you kidding me?
I know.
When they closed the 405 and which was never a good thing, you know, in California. But, I mean, for you guys, that had to be kind of a logistical nightmare to even get around for you guys, right?
Well, the great thing is we use our network. So we shifted all of the headquarters for the entire fire response to Santa Ana, California, where I am right now, which is now the de facto headquarters.
Gotcha.
It's not in the line of fire, so we're safe here. We know we can get our logistics out. That's already been pre-positioned. So it just works great that we have such a great national network that we can pick everything up and move it to another location.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
That is. I mean, what a huge effort that you guys always make, Tony. Thank you so much for the time on the show. Give me the text number again, if you will.
Sure. It's text Red Cross to 90999.
For a
$10 donation.
Yeah.
And Tony, I was just kidding. I ain't a communication major.
I don't think he
didn't buy that.
Believed it. Yeah. Hey, listen, Tony, keep yourself safe, man. Have a great holiday if you have time.
Thank you very much. And you guys have a great time. Thanks for having me on. And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
He's still a soldier. His blood runs red.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And there it is. That's the chorus from the new song. It's a smash.
Man, I love that
song. For veterans, for the military, from Superstar, country music, Mr. Trace Adkins on the program. Trace, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Listen, I got to tell the story. The first time I interviewed Trace Adkins, and so I think maybe like 19, 20 years ago. He was just getting out, you know, getting his stuff, coming in to radio stations. I was working for a radio station in Kansas City, Q104. Trace comes in, and I'd never met Trace, and of course he's got that.
Hey, Randy, Harry.
So we had an equalizer in the studio, and I told Trace, I said, I can't talk to you like this, so I lowered my voice to Trace's, and I think the next thing Trace said, well, you're a crazy son of a bitch. You remember that, Trace?
I do remember that. Yeah, you had that. I don't know how you were doing that. You were speaking to this thing, and it made your voice like James Earl Jones.
I don't know how you've done it for 20 years.
Well, I've done it without help. I probably need some, but I do remember that. That was back in the day. Yeah, I was just getting started and going on my nationwide radio tour, and you threw the short straw that morning.
Hey, listen, man, it was always a pleasure to interview you, and I'm so glad you're on the program. What a ride it's been for you. I mean, and now you've always. The one thing that's been consistent with Trace Adkins has been the fact that he's always been around and helped veterans.
Yes.
He's always had a heart for veterans. Yeah. And now you got this song, Still a Soldier, which So Jerry is a Vietnam vet, and I sent that video to Jerry, which features an actual Iraq veteran. Yeah. And you kind of blubbered along there, didn't you, Jerry?
Yeah, my bottom lip was flapping around like. And I emailed Randy back, and I said, man, I bawled like a baby. And I said, see to it, they play that at my funeral.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 150 years, your first line of defense.
Superstar, country music, Mr. Trace Adkins on the program. Trace, what is it about veterans? Because I know that your family are full of veterans, right?
Well, my grandfather was in the Army, but that's about it, really.
Really?
So
what is it about veterans that you know, kind of connects you?
Well, you know, it's just when I went and did my very first USO tour in 2003, I was hooked. You know, but I've always felt that way about veterans.
Sure.
and service members. You know, but when you get to spend that kind of time with them and their company. You know, it takes it to a whole other level.
Yeah.
And it's just the integrity and the character of people that you're dealing with. And people ask me all the time, why do you do so much stuff with veterans? And I say, look, the answer to that question is to me very simple and also selfish. If you have an opportunity, if you have a chance to spend time with heroes, you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be the better for it. And that's just always been my go-to answer to that question, but it's absolutely true. So that's why.
Yeah, and you've always been associated with a lot of veteran organizations. You got to spend time with them. And, you know, I know that you know how much that means to them, too. I mean, especially those USO tours, and to have somebody like Trace Adkins show up.
Well, what separates Trace from some of the other people.
Yeah.
And I'm not,
right.
Believe me, I appreciate everyone who goes on a USO tour.
Yep.
But some people go on a USO tour and God love them for doing that. But then they come home and that's it.
That's it.
I mean,
right.
Trace just keeps on going.
Yeah.
And keeps on giving.
And Trace, I want to ask you about the song and the video. So you get this Iraq veteran and his family that are in the video for Still a Soldier. And first of all, how did you select that guy, and how did you get him in a video? I mean, a lot of times they don't want to do stuff.
Well, I got a gentleman that works with me. He's been working with me for over 15 years now. He started out playing bass, then he moved to tour manager. Now he's my manager, but as tour manager in his off time, he flips houses. And this guy is one of his go-to construction hands. This guy does everything, you know, and he helps him rehab these houses and get them in ship shape so they can get them back on the market. And so that's how he's known Brian for years, because he's worked with him for years.
Oh, I gotcha.
And then this came up, and Greg said to me, man, I've got the guy. You know, I've got the guy. Let's do this, and let's make it about somebody real. Let's don't use actors. There are no actors in this video. That's Brian. That's his wife.
Right.
That's his son. And the other guys that are interacting with him in the video are all veterans. At the very end, when those three guys come out on stage, that was a show we were doing in Paducah, Kentucky, and it was totally spontaneous. The guy in the middle was a Vietnam veteran, and he was a lieutenant in Vietnam. And so when Brian came out, and they stood there for a few minutes, and then the lieutenant called salute, and they just all snapped, you know.
Wow.
And it was totally, it wasn't rehearsed, it wasn't planned. I mean, that's the moment. When I watched that video, because at that night, I'm standing out there trying to sing, and I look over, and I see this veteran on a cane, you know, mm-hmm. and then I later found out, a Vietnam veteran, lieutenant in Vietnam, And he called attention, you know. And when I looked over and saw that, it was hard for me to say after that.
I mean, that's where that video just absolutely kills you. And the other interesting thing, I think, is that if you work as Trace's tour manager, you have to have at least three other jobs, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't pay, so, you know. Yeah, bless his heart.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That is such a great video.
It is a great video, yeah. And the fact
And I'm very proud of that video because Greg Baker and John Coleman, my band leader, they produced that video. They worked with Mike Stryker he directed it, but that was all in-house. That was Greg and John, you know, with the ideas and everything. They just came to me and said, "We won't do this. What do you think about it?" And I said, "I think it's perfect. Go for it."
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a tough old Vietnam veteran, been around the block, been beat up, been shot, been you name it.
You just described Trace Adkins' career.
I do not cry unless I got to buy lunch or something.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I was bawling like a baby at the end of that video.
Thank you.
Trace, let me ask you about the way that the way Trace Adkins is with veterans is the way he is in life. And I don't know how you have gotten around. I mean, I worked with country music for a long time. And for Trace Adkins to be doing exactly what he wants to do is a lot of times career suicide. You don't speak out. You don't speak your mind. You don't tell people what you really think. How have you been able to get away with that?
Oh man, I don't know.
You beat people up.
That's a fun part of it, yeah.
You know, especially at shows and stuff. I've always been of the opinion that that's not the venue for me to get on a soapbox and start spouting my political opinions to an audience. They bought tickets to come in there and hear, you know, Badonk Donk and Hot Mama. And,
right,
good for you.
And so that's what I give them, you know. And so, you know, from time to time when I'm in the proper venue, I'll go there. But, you know, that's about it.
Well, but, you know, you do that when you're on, you know, certain talk shows. You did it with your book that came out, which, by the way, was a great book. And the thing that I like about that is you are totally unapologetic about your point of view because you're not just an entertainer. You're a citizen, right?
Yeah. Well, Randy's, you know, some guy that's 7 foot tall and weighs whatever he weighs.
Right.
He can say whatever he wants.
No, that's true. It's a good point.
Well, I was pretty apprehensive before my book was released, and I called Charlie Daniels and I just expressed some of my concerns to Charlie, and Charlie said, "Well, son, what are you worried about?" And I said, "Well, you know, I think maybe that some of my fans are going to get that book and they're going to read it and they're going to, you know, be exposed to some of my opinions and they're going to find them, you know, contrary to their own." And he goes, "Son," he said, "the people that are your fans, they already know who you are."
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. And then he just calmed my fears immediately, you know, and then the book came out and he was right. It's been fine.
And what a great guy to call. I mean, if you're going to call anybody for some advice, call Charlie Daniels.
Anyone that's got an opinion, Charlie Daniels
exactly.
has a couple.
Yeah. Have you ever, now has Trace ever been at the, because Jerry was the number two guy for a long time at the VFW, and we worked together for a long time and created this show, actually, originally for the VFW.
Yeah.
Have you ever done the VFW convention?
I don't think so.
No.
Huh.
No.
Never been?
No.
Because I think Charlie Daniels did with the Oak Ridge Boys one year.
That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very long time ago.
But some of the other organizations, I mean, obviously Wounded Warrior.
Wounded Warriors,
And those commercials are running right now.
Yep.
But, man, you've been aligned with a lot of groups, haven't you?
Yeah, well, you know, I try to make sure that they are causes that I find noble and I'm not hesitant to lend my time and money to support them. And you know, it's like I said, it's been a blessing for me. I mean, it's been a selfish endeavor on my part. Don't pat me on the back too hard, okay? I mean, I really believe that this is these, you know, my association with and getting to know all the veterans that I've gotten to know and spending time with them. I swear I've gotten more out of it than they have.
Well, it's great that you're so humble, but let me tell you something. Let me square you away here, Trace.
All right, square me away.
Don't discount what you're doing.
Right.
Because what you've done and what you continue to do is so important. It means so much. I can't even begin to tell you how much it means to a service member, to our heroes. And you said earlier that you tell people that you should hang around with heroes because it would make things better for you. Well, you've made things better for our heroes. So don't discount that. You're a great guy.
That is, you know, the gratification that comes from that when you – when you go downrange and you do a show, and the appreciation that they show you, I tell young folks all the time that are about to go do their first concert for troops. They ask me what to expect, and I say it'll be the most appreciative audience that you will ever play for.
Yep.
And you know, and that's true. It's true. We know how much they appreciate it, and it means a lot to us.
Especially if you're doing a song like Still a Soldier.
You know, if you were here, Trace, I'd get up on a ladder and give you a big kiss.
that's why he's not here. That's why he's on the phone.
That's right. I knew that was going to happen with Miller, so I didn't.
You ought to see the shirt he's wearing today.
It's from the Trace Adkins collection, actually.
Whoops.
Hey, did you, you're touring all the time, I guess, huh?
Well, I haven't been here the last 6 weeks or so. I finally broke down and had a total knee replacement November 6th. So
oh, wow.
I've been trying to recover from that, but I'm getting around pretty good now. And I don't think I go back on tour until February, and I'm going out doing about, I think, 15 shows with Blake, unfortunately.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Does he carry around the People magazine?
Exactly. Yeah, he probably does.
Shows it to everyone?
You know what? You better not even bring that up to me. I'm the guy. I'm the guy standing there going, if they only knew.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he's got Gwen Stefani fooled.
Absolutely, yeah. What a number he did on her.
Oh, my gosh.
I still don't know how he did that.
So you had the knee replacement, and I'm not sure. I'm not an anatomy student, but is that near the badonkadonk?
About halfway.
And I'd say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and before the surgery, they had their Sharpie, and they were making notes on my knee, and I said, let me have that Sharpie, and I drew a line about halfway up my thigh, and I said, you do not go above that line.
You stop. That's the line of demarcation.
That ain't my knee.
That's right. Oh, man. Trace, listen, man, thank you so much for the time. We'd love to have you back on because...
love to have you come out Kansas City and...
Well, he's going to be at the Welk Theater in Branson, I told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty close.
Yeah, you know, I heard some kind of little rumor that we may be coming to Kansas City to perhaps do that thing with you guys. Don't hold me to that, but I think I heard something.
That would
about
be great.
That, so.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I know. I've been talking to Greg, and we'll see if we can schedule some things. But
that'd be great.
Great to talk to you again, Trace. Congratulations on everything, and man, have a Merry Christmas. We're gonna play the song in its entirety here in just a couple of minutes.
But thanks, Trace.
Trace Adkins.
Thank you,
on the program.
Jerry. Thank you for your service. Nice to meet you over the phone. Hope to meet you in person someday. And good to hear from you again, Miller. I thought you were dead.
You know, I get that a lot.
Wife.
I get that a lot, Trace. Hey, have a Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Trace Adkins on the National Defense, and the single, man, it's so good. It's coming up next, Just a Soldier, here on the National Defense.
Hey, this is Trace Adkins on the National Defense Radio Show, wishing everyone. everybody. Everybody serving, your families at home. Everybody. Very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
He's got a corner lot on Dogwood Drive. A year old truck and a 9-to-5. Comes home at night to a pretty wife with a baby due. He'll sleep in on Saturday, cut the grass if it don't rain. After church, he'll watch the game and have a beer or two. He'll stand up when he hears the anthem, and that won't ever change. He's still a soldier. His blood runs red. For the news at 10, he'll see those places that he's been, and when a brother falls, there's a part of him that does too. And if they call and needed him back, all he'd be on that plane. He's still a soldier. His blood runs.
The National Defense.